Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's episode of the Monday Rundown is brought to you by our friends at Heartland Flags and heartlandflags.com. Mother's Day has passed, but Father's Day now is right around the corner. Rob Gray, how would you feel about getting a flag from Heartland Flags for Father's Day?
I'd be ecstatic.
There's so many different options.
Other flags, yeah. I mean, my Cubs at least are playing decent ball again against two of the worst teams in baseball. Dropped a bad one to the horrible Sox yesterday, but always use more Cubs stuff. Celtics up 1-0 on the Cavs. I like the way that started off, 25-point win. Garden flags. I mean, yeah, like you said, I mean, just anything you'd want a flag for. Or those, I think they had those peace poles, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, there's all kinds of good stuff that you can get for the front of your house, like Rob said, for your garden or your man cave. Heartland Flags, heartlandflags.com. Free shipping for everything purchased on heartlandflags.com. So get your Father's Day gifts right there. It's a wonderful day, Rob Gray. Prohibition is over. Sports gambling is going to be legal in the United States of America.
I'd say there's more important types of prohibition to get rid of, but
we're not gonna have that conversation.
I'm not a big sports betting guy, but the shackles are off, as they were in terms of losing your money.
Right.
So that's I know it's a lot of fun for a lot of people.
Now everybody's free to lose their money legally.
Yeah. I'm eyeing some MLS games. I'd like to, hopefully the Iowa legislature works quickly.
Yeah.
Get this going.
You got here and I said, I should have texted you and told you to bring five bets that you would put your life savings on. And you're like, yeah, there'd be a bunch of MLS games. Yeah,
maybe
do you really watch the NLS?
Hell no.
MLS?
Hell no.
Okay.
I'm just having fun with the minor sports. Not that soccer isn't a wonderful sport in its own right. I think it's best for participation because what a great fitness sport. Yeah, I'm sure it would be NBA, NFL.
When I was in Vegas last year, I placed some bets on the WNBA.
How'd they go?
I think we lost all the ones that we placed.
Oh.
No, the best, we put one in a parlay. And it was with the WNBA, the Summer League, and some random baseball game. And if it would have hit, we would have won like probably $1,200 or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was.
But
the first three pieces of it hit, and the one thing we needed to hit, the last thing
WNBA.
We needed was the WNBA, and then we missed it.
$1,200. Well, I guess parlay, you're going to get quite a big return on that. I know a lot of people are really excited about this. Let's see what happens in the States, I guess. But, who you got in the French Open? That's what I'm going to place a bet on.
Is that tennis?
Yeah.
That's Roland Garros, right?
Yeah. I think it's late this month, early next. I can't remember what it is.
I have no idea.
I'm just rambling. I'm sorry.
I don't know. One thing that we have to talk about, Iowa State related here really quick, is Austin Reeves, a transfer from Wichita State. Point guard, shot better than 40% from behind the three-point line last year. Has 2 years to play after sitting out one. He was included in – or Iowa State was included in his final four college choices here. I didn't write down the other ones. I want to say it was like Arkansas and some other ones like that. But Chris reported over the weekend that Iowa State has gotten involved in that situation mainly as a backup plan if Lindell Wigginton was to transfer. Or not transfer. If Lindell Wigginton was to go pro. Sorry, nobody think that Lindell's transferring. I'm not.
Yeah,
I just said the wrong word.
Yep, yeah. Yep, yep. I mean, I don't know. If I'm Austin Reeves, I don't know if I want to feel like a fallback plan guy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you are a fallback plan guy and you get them, and you get there with the team and you impress, you're going to be you're going to be a potential star.
Well, and it doesn't even really matter that much for this year because he's a sit-out guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it's like they might take a step forward for the year after that, but it would still be a pretty major step back.
Yeah.
If Lindell was to stay in the draft.
Yeah, you and I was in on him early on. I don't think he was in there. I do see Arkansas. Maybe Michigan was on his list.
Nope.
I'm not sure what the final four was.
Michigan got cut, yeah.
What about Maryland, Butler?
I don't know.
OU.
OU was on there. I remember that.
Okay.
I just did some very surface level research on this when I saw that on Friday. But Chris did a little bit more digging. Sounds like that's kind of the situation, is that they would move more heavily on that if some other pieces were to move around it.
He's a nice player. Started a few games. He's from Arkansas. Averaged 8 points, 3 rebounds, a couple of assists. 42.5%, 42.5 from three. So I'm sure for him, it's just a matter of minutes. You know, where are they going to go? We know what type of a power Greg Marshall has turned Wichita into, and it's hard to crack that starting five and stay there, even though he started 11 games, as it said. So, yeah, stay tuned on that one, I guess. But that kind of came out of a little bit out of nowhere, right? It was a tweet by him?
Mm-hmm. Or somebody that must know him.
Oh, yeah, said he put the – he's got, here's his final four. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how you got to know kid pretty well, I think, for him to let you tweet out his final four, I would think.
No doubt about it. But it hasn't been one of those things where you see blank, blank, blank is visiting here, blank, blank, blank. And I know with sit-out transfers, it's a little bit different. But
you mean what every Memphis fan account did after Penny Hardaway was hired as their coach, and suddenly every top recruit in the country was going to play for Penny Hardaway?
Oh, man.
What a great industry we work in, Rob Gray.
A lot of fact, a lot of fiction, a lot of speculation, a lot of good, a lot of bad.
Yeah.
But here we are today. Good. It's not raining.
One fact I do know is that I went to Ames this morning and got to sit in the office of the great Rudy Wade, pick his brain for a little while. Iowa State's director of strength and conditioning.
Did you ask him to bench press you?
I did
repeatedly?
Not. No, we did not perform any weightlifting activities. We just talked, about weightlifting, I guess.
You could have asked him for a personalized routine.
I don't think that's necessary. I got my own routine, man. I just go in and put as many weights as I can on the squat bar, and then I stand there and look like I'm really tough.
Yeah.
And then I pick it up, and I act like I'm going to do one, and then I just put it back.
Look around a little bit. It's like, put it back.
Yeah. I was in the gym, so I started going to the gym again and lifting and stuff.
Good for you.
I have some vertical jump goals that I want to reach.
Some of those box jumps. Do you do any of those?
Box jumps, squats, deadlift, calf raises, lunges, those kinds of things.
Yep.
Trying to get more explosive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a guy in there the other day when I was in there. He was probably like 5'7". I don't know how much he weighed. I'm bad at judging that kind of thing. But he was probably doing like 6 or 7 plates on each side of the squat bar. And there's only a couple racks in the gym that I go to, like the squat racks. So I'm waiting to get a rack. And this guy would get up there, and he would get underneath the bar. He had these wraps that he was putting on his legs, and he had this big old belt. And I mean, he was really into it. And he got his two buddies to come over and spot him. He would get up there and do like 2 reps of the weight and then put it back, and he would rest for 10 minutes in between each set. And
so this is a power lifter.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Or at least
working on
a wannabe power lifter.
More max type stuff.
And every time he would do it, he was yelling, and his buddies were yelling at him.
Did he ever hit himself in the chest at all?
I didn't ever
slap
see that.
Slap himself in the face?
You just knew when he was finally going to lift something, because all of a sudden there's a lot more commotion. Yeah. And his buddies were screaming at him like it was the NFL Combine or something like that. Come on,
any
get it up, get it up. No, not that I remember.
So clean.
I was just mad.
So it was clean, grunting and screaming.
Yeah, I was just mad that this guy was taking so long to do his reps, you know? And I was like, I mean, I get that you got to rest in between, but I feel like you're kind of negating the strength that you're building by just doing 2 reps of this really big weight, and then you stand there for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I think based on certain techniques or practices, a long rest period is good, because he's not trying to add to that weight, I think. Mm-hmm. He's just trying to, here I am, I haven't lifted for God knows how long. I used to be into it. Got to get back into it. Maybe we should have no, that wouldn't be fair. He'd kick my butt.
What?
You know, CW
a
and
challenge?
Ben Bruns had a challenge. You don't need to lose any weight. I could lose some weight.
See, we can do a reverse where I'll gain weight and you'll try and lose weight.
Yeah.
And we can see who can make, like, the biggest impact on their BMI or something
like
that.
I think that would be something. I don't know how these guys were measuring their body fat or whatever they had it done.
No, they had some kind of fancy scale that they were using.
Okay, well, maybe we could just say, hey, can we use this? And
yeah. We'll see. Yeah.
I'd be horrified when I sit on it the first time. I've been kind of, as I said, the 50-50 plan, treating myself like crap 50% of the time and being a Wheatfield type guy, the other 50%, it's not working.
See, you...
needs to be more like 80-20.
I would probably have the advantage on you on the lifting and, like, the working out side of things, but you would certainly have a very wide advantage on me when it came to eating right and all that kind of stuff.
See, but you've got the age advantage where the eating right will not...
yeah.
You know, put on bad weight, you know, so to speak. But yeah, we should try that. We should try that.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do about that. But after my tangent about the weightlifting, back to my conversation with Rudy Wade.
Absolutely. Sorry.
And no, that was my fault that I took a sip. One of the things that I thought was kind of interesting is you've noticed, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I've noticed, like, when they put out these videos during winter conditioning and stuff like that, how a lot of the drills they're doing are competition-based, tug of war and races of different varieties and just those kinds of things. And I kind of asked him what the basis behind that is and if that's something that he's put a lot of emphasis on previously. And he told me that really when they got here, the thing that he wanted, like that he really wanted to do it that made it so important was that he felt like guys weren't that competitive. And now that they are getting more competitive now, that makes it even tougher, those drills, where you know that the guy on the other side isn't going to quit. He's going to want to kick your ass every single time. And then that makes that winter conditioning period even more difficult and even more invaluable, I think is the word that he used.
Yeah. I mean, when there's a fun aspect to it, too, and sometimes these things are brute strength. It's not how many reps at 225. It's not, you know, my new standard at one rep maximum. I in the past, I think guys were competitive in that respect. It would be like, hey, I was in the whatever pound club mm-hmm. for the squad and this. But that's not the same because you're beating yourself, which is important.
Yeah.
You want to improve yourself. But in that team aspect, maybe that was lost a little bit. And now when you throw in tug of war, this little fun element too. And I think some of those things are coming back too. Just some of the... you can't really measure it, but you are just pulling as hard as you can, or you're resisting the pull as hard as you can, just as part of a well-rounded thing. I know that's all deeply scientific in many ways too, but that sounds like a nice thing to add in. And as he said, invaluable, I would assume, because these guys seem excited mm-hmm. about being in. There were a couple things I remember asking Lazar and a few guys about lifting, and there were a couple things that they really didn't like. But that's only because it probably forced him to really hurt more or less, but also grow.
Well, and that's what he said. You know, it was just like they knew coming in that guys probably weren't going to be in very good shape. And it was like immediately they wanted to be able to see, you know, who could – this isn't how he put it, but this is kind of how I interpreted it, that it's like you had to find out early on who could handle it, mm-hmm. you know, who could take being pushed at a very high level. And those people that could handle it and then thrived in it are the ones that you knew were really going to be there, the ones that you were going to lean on, which is what it ended up being, where it's the guys like Joel and Allen and J.D. Wagner and Jake Campos and those kinds of dudes that they really needed to be the leaders these last couple of years.
Yeah, and I mean, mirrors exactly what they were trying to do with the culture change and mm-hmm. how they arranged their lockers. You got to figure out, after years of losing, after years of being kind of down on yourself, are you still hungry to win? Are you still hungry to play the game, enjoying the game? How often does Matt Campbell stress he loves a game of football? You know, he loves a game of football. That's what I love about him. That's what they're determining, I think, through all this stuff. Because if you love it enough, that pain is, it sucks. But that's part of the price you pay to continue to play the game that you love and to elevate it. And I think that fits in perfectly with the philosophy that we've seen. And it's great to see those results. I think it would be fun to actually, I'm sure they put some of the videos up, but I think it would be funny if they put on like a little World's Strongest Man thing, like the old school stuff. Could do something out there. It could have somebody like tugging on a fire engine or something. Magnus von Magnussen.
Carrying the big boulders and putting them up on the pedestals and stuff.
That's the equivalent of whatever stone. I love it. So it's like, that's blank stones, the equivalent of 8 average-sized men. Those are the best.
And the stuff in him, like, and they showed the training videos where people had, like, built these things in their backyard.
Yeah.
It's just like, imagine what their neighbors think of them, where they see them putting these big rocks on the...
They're probably scared to death.
Oh, yeah.
Although most of those guys are the nicest guys, too.
You watch a guy pull a truck down the street, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, I know which house I'm never going to try and break into.
Yeah. No ding-dong ditch over there.
Yeah.
This guy starts throwing cannonballs at you.
Okay. We're going to hear Rob Gray's favorite tailgate tour memories when we come back on the Monday Rundown presented by Heartland Flags on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
Hello, friends. We'll get you back to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast here in just a minute. This is Chris Williams, and I want to tell you guys about a great experience I recently had. Mine was up at Ames Eye Clinic. Now, the same guys, Dr. Kruger and the crew, are also down in Des Moines, so we've got a lot of options for you here. But I had lunch with Dr. Kruger, and I was telling him about some of the symptoms that I had had. I was having headaches all the time. I felt like I needed like in the back of my neck, it was weird. It was like stiff all the time. I noticed, I was having problems reading up close. It was weird. Went in, had my eyes checked, and sure enough, I had some issues going on that I never even thought of. I never had to wear glasses as a kid. You get a little bit older. They hooked me up with some glasses that I use now when I'm looking at my computer screen all day working here at Cyclone Fanatic. Headaches have not completely gone away, but they've gotten a lot better. If you're like me, you probably haven't had your eyes checked in years. It had been over a decade since I had. Really glad that I went in there. Most insurance, it's going to work because they can code it that it's health. There's a lot of different things that can happen with that. I'd love for you guys to give them a shot. Ames Eye Clinic. It's up on 10th Street. If you are in Des Moines, it's over on 2600 Grand Avenue. They will hook you up. Awesome guys. They're big Cyclone fans and proud supporters of CycloneFanatic.com, and they've helped me a lot. All right, here back today to our newest installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
Welcome back to the Monday Rundown presented by Heartland Flags. It's tailgate tour week, Rob Gray. Well, I guess it's tailgate tour weeks because it's kind of a two-week deal.
Indeed.
Kicked off today in Ottumwa. They'll be on their way down to Bettendorf probably as we are recording this right now.
At the Isle Center Ballroom, 5:30 p.m., so we'll be up this afternoon. You know, if you happen to be around the Quad Cities, that's the place to be.
Where else we got this week? I know Grinnell's one of them. That's probably where I'm going to go.
Yeah, we've got the Dubuque Best Western Plus Hotel at noon tomorrow.
Yeah, I bet that's a real nice place.
Yeah, but you know it is. Cedar Rapids at the Marriott, 5:30, also tomorrow. And then Grinnell, where you indicated you'll be at Grinnell Mutual at noon, and Waterloo that same day at the National Cattle Congress at 5:30.
Man,
Cattle Congress has been a big time host, a very faithful host of the tailgate tour.
Clear Lake sometime next week too, right?
Yep, Clear Lake is towards the end of the deal. Yeah, Humboldt and Clear Lake May 23rd, but they'll be in Templeton on May 21st.
Always got to take advantage of a good opportunity to go up to the Surf Ballroom.
Lots of greats played there.
What's your favorite tailgate tour memory?
Well, my favorite, I guess, is the first one I went on. I was in the Quad Cities, and I wish I remembered. Maybe it was Bettendorf, but Fenley's from around there, and it was really the first one that I covered. A lot of people there. I think football was coming off a decent season under Rhodes, and one of the players from around there was there. Just to see that enthusiasm in that corner of the state and to talk to people about it. And, everyone, was in a pretty laid-back mood, but feeling excited about what's going on. And then you could just tell it's a really neat experience. And I know the fans, especially when you're talking about far west or far east, really enjoy the fact that Iowa State does this and brings, you know, it's not, I don't think every day and every site has, you know, your quote unquote marquee coaches, but there are a lot of them. And if it's not the so-called, you know, the head coach, it's, you know, a top assistant or something. And again, some of the players one way or the other. And obviously a few years back, longer than it seems really, was the bombshell in Ottumwa at the beginning, where it's like talking to Jamie Pollard about Fred's
you
know, prospects and getting some, you know,
interesting
eyebrow raising kind of quotes that way. And then trying to work around the place that it was at with some off and on wireless and send stuff back and all that. But good times. So wherever they're at, Cyclone fans, go out and support those things, because the reason they keep doing it is because you guys keep showing up.
See, I think that year with Hoiberg Watch was like the year that the tailgate tour went mainstream, you know? Like before, I mean, people would go and we would talk to coaches and stuff. I never had those when I was still in school. But that was the point when it really was like, okay, someone needs to go to this a lot of times, you know, or like at least once, like we got to go and talk to these guys, you know,
because there might be some news. And
right,
if you're not there, then you just, A, you don't have a chance to ask a question if there's something that you think of that isn't being, excuse me, asked already. And excuse me. It becomes, in terms of mainstream, something worth reporting on, other than locally, right?
Mm-hmm.
Local TV would show up when they're in the Quad Cities or in Sioux City, blah, blah, blah. But, and so you'll possibly make a couple trips, like you said, Grinnell, maybe the Clear Lake deal.
Yeah, Grinnell will probably be the best bet for me here this week, and then Clear Lake. That's usually the other place that I go, just because it's pretty easy drive. Blew a tire on the way back from Clear Lake a couple years ago.
Really?
Yeah. Right after I got a new car right after I got out of school.
I remember this.
I blew two tires like in the span of of like 3 weeks. Two Oof. Different ones. Coming back from Clear Lake, and then I was going to like Council. Yeah, I was going to Council Bluffs to go to a camp when they had a satellite camp there. And it was the tailgate tour and the satellite camp I blew tires on. Just a couple days.
I remember that.
My roommate had to come pick me up.
You had a string of bad luck at the time, and it was like I just blew a tire.
Yeah,
it's like you were texting or something. It's like, oh man.
Yeah.
Tough deal.
I just remember I called my roommate, and he had to drive from Ames to Stewart to come pick me up when I was in between Des Moines and.
Were you right off? Were you right off of I-80 then at Stewart?
Like yeah.
At
the okay. Yeah, I was just like at a Burger King there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But. I had some bad luck there for a little while.
Hopefully none of that for this tailgate tour. It'll be all good stuff.
Yeah, for sure. All right, man. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Good to see you.
Talking a little bit, chopping it up. I'm going to be back on CFTV tomorrow with Jeff Woody. I think we're going to do a couple of them, but actually we're going to the one that will actually go live will be at 8:30, I believe. So... check out that 8:30 tomorrow morning, Tuesday, if you're up and at 'em early in the day. If not, of course, it'll be the podcast and the video replay later on in the day as well. What else? We got anything else coming this week?
I don't think so.
I can't think of anything else either. Okay. Check out my Q&A with Rudy Wade. Peace.